We had a great healing school yesterday. Praise the Lord. We had people from everywhere. Praise the Lord. It was a great day yesterday. I don't know how many we had, but we had a bunch. The place was almost full. So I just think, wow, thank you, Jesus, for bringing them. And there was a lot of people that had a lot of needs. And I'm going to believe that every one of them got their answer yesterday, because all you got to do is believe and ask God and repent of your sins. And he never says no.
Amen.
He always says yes. And so what I would like to do after a healing school, I would like to start out today. Is there anybody that has a testimony that you'd like to share with us before we get started in the teaching today? Come on up here and we'll tell us what the Lord. All right.
Well, I had a little skin tag on my eye. And it was kind of silly. And I'm like, this is silly. I don't need this here. And I said, I don't know what I did wrong, Lord, but whatever it is, I repent. And so Pastor prayed for me last week, and it's almost gone. So I'm, and it's gone, but it's going to be gone today.
So amen.
Praise the King.
Isn't that awesome?
Amen.
Wow. Yeah, it's only last week we prayed for you, right, Kim?
Yeah.
Wow, praise God. Yeah, Miss Becky, come up here. Praise God. Becky's got something she wants to share with us.
Last month, my husband and I came to the healing school and came up and talked to Thurman and Cheryl. In the conversation, Thurman brought up that my husband was supposed to pray for me. Well, I've been a Christian most of my life. I had never heard that. And so I stepped back and I said, what? And we left the healing school. We were on the road and I had my stomach had started bothering me. And I told my husband, I said, George, my stomach hurts. And he said, well? And he started praying. I mean, instantly, it was gone. And since then, it's been two or three times since then that I've asked George to pray for me. And every time he did, it's just instant.
Isn't God good, Becky?
It works. It works. Yeah.
Praise the Lord. They came in telling me about this, and George says, God's word really works. I said, well, can you imagine that? When we learn to do it his way, and of course, Becky asked me the question. She said, I have been a Christian really since I was 5. She said, I got baptized at 9, but she said, I've been in church all of my life. She said, how is it that we can read this book and we never get these revelations? And all of a sudden you come along and tell us what it means. Here's the way I have to look at that. I know that God started me out as an airline pilot, a flight engineer and all those things, flying airplanes, little airplanes. And then I went to big ones. I started out with a little bitty tiny single engine airplane and finally wound up flying a big 4-engine jet. But I'll tell you what, when I went anywhere, either in the little airplane or in the big airplane or any one of them in between, I flew that airplane according to a set of books. I always took my briefcase with me with a big book for that big airplane. It told me how fast it would fly at certain power settings. It told me how much fuel it would use, told me what the range would be. Everything about that airplane was in that book. And I learned right off, now here is a book that somebody wrote that I've never met. I have no idea who these people are. But they wrote a book, and I get into an airplane, and I'm going to trust if I get into an airplane, a DC-8 at Kennedy, and I say I'm going to London, and so I put on X number of 1,000 pounds of fuel because it said it's going to take this many 1,000 pounds of fuel at this weight to get from here to London, and then I need a few extra 1,000 pounds in case when I get there, if the weather is bad or something, and I have to fly to another airport. I put all that on, knowing that when I leave here, I'm going to be okay to get there. Now, I believe those rules from a book that I never met any of the people that wrote it. And so I thought, gee, this book works out real well. You know, if it says, you know, that it takes X number of 1,000 pounds of fuel to go from here to there, well, I put that on plus whatever, and I always got there and always had exactly left what I'm supposed to have. It always worked perfect. You know, it never failed. And so I guess when I come to the Word of God, two things I had. I had a dad, and I'm so grateful that I had a father on earth, a dad on earth. And the dad that God gave me on earth was such a good man that if he told me he was going to do something for me, I believe my dad would have died before he didn't do what he promised me he would do. And I learned those kind of principles, just like one day I was there teaching my little son how to swim. He was, when he was a little bitty guy about that tall. And I was saying, come on, Tim, jump off of the side of the pool into the water. Oh, he's hesitant. He don't want to jump in there. I said, Dad will catch you. I will not let you go under. And so he would leap out there to try to get a hold of me, and I'd do everything in my power to make sure I got him every time, and I would hold him. And after four or five times, there was a guy walked up behind me, and he said, next time he jumps in, back up and let him go under. I said, Mister, I want you to know I would die before I lie to my son. I said, if I tell him I'm going to catch him, I'm going to do everything in my power. I would die before I didn't do what I told him. I said, now if I tell him, son, I'm going to back out here a couple more steps. You jump in, you go under. As soon as you come up, I'll grab you. If that's what I tell him, that's what I'm going to do. But that's the way my dad was with me. But all these things I have learned, that's why it made it so easy for me to believe my father's book. If he said something, I tried to read everything that was there. You know, if he told me to do something, I believed him. And it's brought forth great results in my life and many of your lives. You know, I think about the tens of thousands of people all over this world. You know, when I think about these CDs and DVDs, we're still sending out 10,000 a week of those somewhere in the world. 10,000 a week. There's a lot of people at different places have these CDs and DVDs. You know that? There's people in Washington that have these. There is people all over the world that has these. I mean, I've gotten phone calls from Australia, from Germany, from Norway, from England, you know, from everywhere, France, Spain. It's unbelievable almost what God can do with one man if you'll just say, Jesus, here I am. I'm available. Use me for your glory. He's an awesome God. He's looking for you. He's looking for me. He's looking for those of us that will say, here am I, Lord. Send me. I will go. It's just like the time when he says, and I looked all over the earth for a man, and I didn't find one. So I had to judge Israel because I couldn't find one man to stand in the gap and pray for her. Isn't that sad? Well, I hate to say this, but you know what probably the biggest sin in the church is today? Unbelief. That's exactly right. The biggest sin in the church today is we don't believe God. Is there any other testimonies? Praise the Lord. Okay, come on up here, brother. Praise God. I'll turn the mic on. Here, come on up here. We want to give God the glory. If he's doing something, we want to know what he's doing. Mike, tell us.
Thank you. This is the one that changed my life forever. I'm a mechanic, and I've had back problems a little bit through my whole life. And I moved a safe on Friday for my boss, and it tweaked my back pretty bad. So Saturday I was in a lot of pain. Sunday I was almost crawling. My eyes were tearing up. I could hardly move, but I was still toughing it out, trying to trowel the mud on the sheetrock in the bathroom, doing a little remodeling. And my wife and I were in there together, and I was just about to go down incapacitated. And she said, why don't we just go pray? So... Excuse me. So we did. We went in the living room and prayed the prayer of faith. And the Lord touched my back. And I was instantly healed.
Praise the Lord.
This is the first time that the Lord has ever touched me instantly like that. And it was amazing. And I can never, ever be the same. And I've got to tell everyone what the Lord has given us as a blessing and the teachings that we have here work. God answers every time if we ask. And this has changed my life forever. And I've got a quick one. Furnace last night acting up. I'm a mechanic, so as a physical man, this does not make any sense. As a spirit man, my wife and I, we decided we can pray for this thing and it'll work. I watched it. It would cycle. It would strike. It would start all the heating elements. But the generator that senses the heat wasn't sending the electrical impulse to the board that told it was lit, so it would just cycle off over and over and over again. And it was cold last night. So we sit and we say, we're just going to pray for this piece of machinery and God's going to fix it because we don't want to be cold. So we prayed over this heater and the thing worked flawless from the instant we prayed over it all night, and it's still working today.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
That's amazing. Grace got a cramp in her foot last night and the Lord taught me a lesson in how to pray. I went over to her and I prayed, but I was kind of tired. I didn't fully awaken and give it my full attention. It didn't work. I tried again, a little more awake. Still didn't work. I got out of bed, got down on my knees, and I got intense with this demon. And it worked instantly.
Praise the Lord.
I learned that lesson last night. Praise God. That's all I've got for now.
Amen. Praise God. That's a good one. Praise the Lord. That's great, Mike. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah, well, Mike and Gracie, they're learning how to walk in God's Word. I got tickled at him the other day. He said, I was a member of a church for 14 years and never saw a healing or never saw a miracle. He said, I come out here and heard you teach things I had never heard. And he said, I started acting on what you said, and it started working for me. And the first one, of course, he told me was the one with his back, where that when he got healed. I mean, you know, when you have had back troubles all, and I had that same problem for years, and I've known many people that have, but when you get on your face before God and pray the prayer of faith, the King shows up. You know, but you have to pray the prayer of faith. And you can't pray the unbelieving prayer. You know, He is a faith God. And He says in His Word, without faith, it's impossible to please Me. And those that come to Me must come to Me and believe that I am. And you know, you must believe it. And I will reward those who diligently seek Me. Well, see, that's a problem. So many of us, we just go to church on Sunday. We go to church on Sunday, but we don't diligently seek Him. That's the only, we may give Him an hour, you know, or two or whatever. Some people will go to church on Sunday morning for 1 hour, or like us, they come out here for a couple of hours. I'd hope that if you go here for a while, you're going to start diligently seeking God. I hope that you're going to get that. But in fact, I know churches in the area right here. I don't know whether it was a week or two ago, whenever it was, they had the Super Bowl. I don't know, a week or two ago. Some churches, they put big screen televisions in their thing, and that's what they had for church on Sunday night. It's football. Hey, it ain't going to happen in this church. If you want to come here for football, you might as well stay at home because you ain't going to get no football when you come here. You know, you're going to get the King when you come here, praise God. But I just stand in awe at the times, even when I was at Lakeland years ago, when they would want to cancel Sunday night church service because it was Super Bowl Sunday. I told them I never voted for that. I said, never. I was always voted down, you know, but, you know, I said, I'm going to be here, you know. So anyway, I said, I'll have church all by myself if necessary, but I'm not going to take off because it's Super Bowl Sunday. You know, Super Bowl Sunday don't mean nothing to me. We finally got out of here a little before 9 last night. We had a great day yesterday, and we prayed for people till near almost 9 o'clock, and then Cheryl and I went over to get a bite to eat right quick, and while we were there in a little restaurant, having a bite, my back was to the TV, but she was where she could see it. And there's I won't mention her name, but there was a well-known female vocalist that had sold over 200 million records, drowned in the bathtub yesterday because she was on drugs, some kind of drugs. I don't know what it was, but you know, 48 years old. She was an old woman, you know, 48. 48 years old, had millions of dollars, done everything, but didn't serve God, didn't put Him first, you know. But, you know, now she's dead. I don't know for sure, but I got an idea where she's at.
Yep.
I really don't think she's in heaven.
Nope.
Because she didn't serve God. But, you know, that's why I couldn't be a pastor to preach a sermon for people like that, because I'd have to tell the truth. And I've heard this lots of times. Old Brother John, you know, yeah, he never come to church. His wife did, but he never come to church. He always worked every Sunday. But now that he's dead, we know he's in a better place. He's with the Lord. No, I don't think so.
No.
I don't think so at all. You know, if you didn't love serving Jesus on earth, you sure ain't going to love worshiping and praising him in heaven. You know, so the Lord is going to see that you don't have to go there. You know, you're going to get to go to a place where you're going to feel right at home, you know, with the world. And I can't even imagine that, can you? Oh, wow. Is there anybody else? I don't want to cut you short, brother. Okay, just a second. I'll get to all of you.
My wife and I moved to Appomattox, Virginia in 1992 from San Antonio. In the Baptist church there, a member of their church died recently, I think about 6 months before we got there or something. This guy was a really great Baptist, the one that died, really great Baptist minister. If he was there, he was always in church. He was there every time the doors was open. He did have a little problem with drinking. He'd get drunk from time to time. If he got home, you know, on Friday night or something, he'd get drunk Friday night or Saturday. But he was a really great member of the church, a great Baptist guy, and he was there every time the doors was open, man, every service, everything he did. He did have some problems. He and his wife had a few problems. He always apologized. He'd beat her up from time to time, but he was, you know, he was always sorry that he did, and he'd ask her forgiveness and so forth. But he just really was a great Baptist minister. He was, Baptist member. He was there in the church every time the doors was open. Do we know any guys like that?
Unfortunately.
And he died about 6 months before I met him. He may be then where the same place that other lady is.
Wow. Praise the Lord. There's a lot of people that say they're Christians, but they're not. You know, you have to obey God to be a Christian.
My testimony is that I went to 2 weeks a prayer retreat center. There's times intentionally you need to seek the Lord, and I feel like I really need to seek the Lord. And I went there. You know, your mindset is that, you know, I'm going to pray for this. I need an answer to this, and I have this. You know, you all mapped it out for what you want to pray for. And once you go there, that all went out of window, and because the Lord has something else in mind. This prayer center is constantly in the word and prayer, presence of God. And during that time, God does great things, and in between that time, you have your own prayer time. I saw great men and women of God, and they constantly sit before the presence of God and praying. I said, Lord, when are you going to get there? I cried out for that too. During that time, and I went to this little prayer room, and I said, Lord, in 20 bars a day, and consistently I want to pray and seek you. First night, you know, I struggle. I pray, and you don't have a room to lay down, actually, and so just lean on the wall a little bit, and so try stay awake and pray. And I done that, and fighting, but didn't go too well. So next morning, and before I went in there, Lord has given me the scripture about he washing his feet, the disciple, how he served, you know, I haven't come to be served, but I come to serve the others. So in the Lord, I asked the Lord, he gave me this scripture, so what is it that you're trying to speak to me? I asked Lord, and then I didn't get the answer, complete understanding. So I asked the pastor, who's in charge in this center. She prayed, and she said that she wants you to pray for those people who is here. So through the prayer and intercession for them, I will wash their feet. And I said, oh, okay, Lord, I will do that. So I got their name, and I went up and prayed. There was 20 people I had to pray for. So what God was showing me, as I was cleaning the, you know, his holy place, and it's outside cleaning, but also he was cleaning inside. He's cleaning me inside in spiritual Amen. Cleaning. And then he is the same time, you know. And I was so grateful for Jesus using me that way. And he bestowed his love upon me.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I love testimonies. You know, I love to hear what God's doing through each one of you, you know, and how he's using you for his glory. And he's a mighty God, you know, he's just an awesome God. So, my wife's got a testimony. Okay, we can't go on then. She's
Yep. Prayed for Alan Freeman last week.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Did you get a job, Alan?
Yes, he did.
Yes, he got a job. Yes, thank you, Jesus.
I will have to say that Cheryl was so bold. She said, I have prayed for you, Alan, and you will get that job. Well, Monday he went in and he got the job.
Yes, he did.
Okay, so that's
and then
right.
Last week, Marilyn had said her ex-daughter-in-law was not allowing her to see her granddaughter. And so we sat up here and we prayed that the granddaughter would come visit her. And last Sunday, I walk in the nursery and I look over there and there's Marilyn, there's the granddaughter. I said, the prayer works. She said, yes. We bless the granddaughter, the daughter-in-law.
Yes, praise God. Yes, so the Lord does answer prayer, does he not? I know what you have need of even before you ask. So if you're asking in faith, you know, and you're clean and pure and you're not living in some kind of sin, you know, well, then he answers. What we miss so often is that part where he says, if you have sin in your life, I will not hear your prayer. I mean, my goodness, how do we miss that, huh? But if you have sin in your life, I will not hear your prayer. So what do we have to do? Repent of the sin and he forgives us. It's that simple. So praise the Lord. But anyway, let's start out here in 1 John 4, starting with verse 1. Dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. That testimony Joseph gave was a pretty good one about that. You know, I mean, here he's a great Baptist Christian, but he drinks a lot and he beats his wife a lot. And you're going to tell me that man's a Christian? I don't think so. You know, I mean, if he is, he sure does need to crucify the flesh, doesn't he? Once we become children of God, he said, now I give you all power and all authority. If you come to me and ask me for anything, in other words, if you'll confess your sin, I'll forgive your sin. And if you come and ask me for anything, then I will do it for you. Isn't that amazing that God makes these promises? But there's a lot of people out there that saying that I am a Christian, but they don't come to church. They don't come to church. They won't spend time with God. But he says, dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. You must test them to see if the Spirit they have comes from God. Test them. For there are many false prophets in the world. Oh, my goodness gracious. Are there many false prophets in the world? There is so many false prophets in the world. Now, this is the way to find out if they have the Spirit of God. If a prophet acknowledges that Jesus Christ became a human being, that person has the Spirit of God. Now, I remember years ago when we were over at Dallas, I'd done something that I've never done since. I had never done it before. It was a one-time thing that I'd done. God, he keeps you guessing, you know it? Because that Sunday, I was getting ready to preach, and all of a sudden, the Lord just laid on my heart. I thought I heard him speak to me audibly. He said, son, there's a lot of my people here have pain today, and I want to heal all of them. You remember that, honey? You were there that day, yeah. Yeah, you were there that day too, huh? And anyway, well, there was probably 100 people there that day, 80 or 100 anyway, and I thought, well, there may be two or three. You know, but so I said, you know, I said, the Lord just said, is there anybody with pain here? I said, he wants to heal you today. So I said, if you have pain, I want you to get up and come up here, and I'm going to pray for you right here on the platform. My goodness, must have been 25 people got up. I thought, wow, I didn't realize there's so many people hurting. You know, so they come up, and they come. Boy, I had a big, long line. And people were coming up. I was laying hands on them and praying for them. And man, their pain was going away. They were just getting healed like crazy. And I'm thinking, wow, God, this is fun serving you. I love serving the Lord Jesus Christ. I love him seeing the things he does. And then this one lady came up and she had pain. And I said, weren't you pain? She told me. I said, okay, I'm going to pray for you. I did. I said, now your pain's gone away. She said, no, it hasn't. It's still there. And so I prayed again. And I said, now it has to go away. She said, it hasn't gone away. I said, are you a Christian? She said, well, yes. I said, well, say Jesus is my Lord. She said, G. I said, say Jesus is my Lord. And she could not say it. She could not say it. So I reached up and grabbed her, and I said, "You devil of hell, I command you to come out of her right now in the name of Jesus and go away and stop blinding her mind to the Word of God." I said, "Get out, Satan, in Jesus' name." I said, "Now, woman, say, 'Jesus is my Lord.'" She said, "Jesus is my Lord." Amen. And she got gloriously saved right there. Amen. I said, Now then, I'm going to pray for you one more time. I said, "Now you're a daughter of the King." While ago, you wasn't. I prayed for her one more time. I said, "Now what happened to your pain?" She said, "It all went away." Right. Now, isn't that something? Don't you love serving Jesus? Yeah. I mean, I love serving Jesus. And then that's the only one I had like that day. The rest of them, no problem. When I prayed for them, every person there, you remember that, do you? Both of y'all. Y'all were there. You saw that. There was, how many, you think there was 20 or 25 people come up there? There was a bunch of them. Now, that one woman was the only one that when I prayed for her, nothing happened. Why did it happen? Not happen. I thought, you know, if this has not happened, this woman's, she cannot be a daughter of the King. He's not her child. So he's not going to heal her until she becomes his daughter. That's when I said, "Are you a Christian?" She said, "Well, yes." And I said, "Well, okay, then say. I'm going to prove, like the scripture says, I'm going to prove beyond a doubt, of a shadow of a doubt, that she's really a Christian." And I said, "So if you are, say, 'Jesus is my Lord.'" She could not even speak the name of Jesus until after. Of course, that reminded me of a couple that called me on Thursday before the healing school on Saturday. They said, "We have a 10-year-old grandson that he is rebellious. And he won't do nothing we tell him to do," and said, "We want you to come out here and pray for this boy." I said, "Well, ma'am, I don't have time to do that between now and Saturday." I said, "So where do y'all live?" And they told me, I said, "Well, it's only a couple hour drive from where y'all are to Dallas." I said, "Why don't y'all bring the boy to the healing school Saturday?" They said, "We can do that." I said, "It starts at 1:00. So they brought the little boy and they sat there for the whole 4 or 5 hours. After it was over, finally the grandmother and grandfather, they came up and they said, "We're the couple that called. They said, we have the 10-year-old grandson that's rebellious." I said, "Where is he?" And they said, "Well, he's back over there doing something." I said, "Well, call him up here." So they called him and said, "Son, come up here." So he come up here. I knelt down in front of the little guy like this. I like to be right at their height, you know. So I looked him right in the eye and I said, "Son, do you know Jesus is your Lord and Savior?" He said, "Nope." I said, "How would you like to make Jesus Lord of your life?" "Nope, I ain't interested." I said, "You're not interested." I said, "You're not interested in going to heaven and knowing the Lord Jesus Christ?" "Nope. Don't want nothing to do with it." Now then, I know who's blinding his mind. I know I have power over him. So I reached up and grabbed the little guy and shook him one time, just steady as a rock. I said, "You devil of hell, come out of him in the name of Jesus. Stop blinding his mind." I said, "Go on, in Jesus' name." I said, "Now, son." I said, "Father, convict the boy of sin." I said, "Now, son, how would you like to make Jesus Lord of your life?" He said, "I'd love it. I'd love it." And I led the little boy to Jesus right there. And about 2 weeks later, Grandma and Grandpa called me and they said, "Mr. Scrivener, if we hadn't have been there and seen it, it's unbelievable. Our grandson is a totally different boy. Said he's not rebellious anymore. He walks in love with us. He obeys us. He does everything we tell him to do. Said he is just the sweetest little guy." Well, why was he not sweet before? What did he have in him? A devil, of course, demons. How much power do we have over the demons? Jesus is talking to me. He's talking to you. He said, "I give you authority to trample on the serpent and his demons. All power is given to you over him. They shall in no wise hurt you. Nevertheless, rejoice not that those evil spirits have to be subject to you, but rather rejoice because your name's written in heaven." Amen. Is that awesome or is that awesome? Hey, if I've got that kind of authority, why should I be in fear about anything? I have power as a son of God over everything on the earth. It's all mine. I don't have to be afraid of nothing. I can cast a demon out of a child. I've done it so many times. It's so much fun to see their lives totally changed. Isn't it wonderful to know that you have power over the devil? Yeah. And he has to obey you? Yeah. Just think, people that don't read the Word, they don't ever learn that. Oh, instead of learning it, they let the demons of hell drown them in a bathtub when they got hundreds of millions of dollars. Can you imagine that? I feel so sorry for people. I mean, she had everything. Everything. I mean, I never know her. I didn't know her, didn't know who she was, wouldn't know if she walked in the door right now. I never heard her name until last night when Cheryl told me about this girl that drowned in the bathtub, had 200 million records or something like that. 200 million? 200 million? I wonder how much that money she gave to Jesus. I wonder how much tithes she gave in her whole life. I don't know. Maybe some, maybe nothing. I don't know. But all I know, the king wasn't too happy with her, was he?
Nope.
If she died at 48, he says, if you obey me and do everything I say, I'll satisfy you with a
long life.
Oh, he didn't say short life, did he?
Nope.
He said a long life. So Christians that obey God, I think we ought to all live 70 or 80 or 90 years at least. You know, don't y'all? I plan to live a long, long time because I'm having so much fun serving Jesus. You know, and when I die, I'm going to go home and be with Jesus. I'm going to be in heaven, so he ain't going to need me to do nothing up there, I don't guess, until we come back for the millennial reign here on earth, and then I'll get to come back and reign and rule with him on this earth just like you will. But until that time, hey, I'd rather just kick out devils and tell people about Jesus and pray for people and see our King do awesome things. Hadn't you?
Amen.
Hey, that's what we're supposed to be doing. Wow, praise the Lord. So this is the way you find out if they have the Spirit of God. If a prophet or person acknowledges that Jesus Christ became a human being or came in the flesh, that person has the Spirit of God. And there's another secret I've learned. Do you believe that Jesus came in the flesh?
Yep.
Well, lots of people say, yeah, yeah. I said, do you believe he's your Lord? Yeah, yeah. I said, I want you to say, Jesus is my Lord. No, I believe that. I believe that. No. That's not what I want to hear you say with your own mouth. Jesus is my Lord.
Jesus.
No, that's okay. No, I believe that. I don't have to say that. Ooh, we're treading on dangerous ground right now.
Yep.
When they're telling you all this, but they won't say it.
Something wrong.
Because Kennard had no problem at all when I said that. He just immediately said, Jesus is my Lord. Did y'all hear him say that?
Yep.
I mean, there's no problem right here. I mean, is Jesus my Lord? Oh, yes, Jesus is my Lord. I have no problem voicing that. And I think 99% of you in this room wouldn't have a problem. Maybe 100% of you in this room, I hope, you wouldn't have a problem saying, Jesus is my Lord. And we need to do that regularly. Now then, verse 3 and 4. If a prophet does not acknowledge Jesus, that person is not from God. Such a person has the spirit of the Antichrist. You have heard that he is going to come into the world, and he is already here. Now, he's been here for a long time, I'll say that. The Antichrist spirit has been here, and there is lots of people. That's just like one day I had a young man I had a forklift that wasn't working down at when I was working down at the airport, and they sent a young man out there, and he was out there working on the forklift, and I went back and I said, son, you're a Christian? He said, yeah. I said, you go to church? No. I said, well, what do you mean you're a Christian? You don't go to church. He said, me and God's got a deal. I said, son, the book is the deal. And I didn't read anywhere in there where you don't have to go to church. I didn't see that in the deal. I said, the deal says you are to go to church and serve God. He said, well, you see, I don't believe that. I said, well, you know, it doesn't make it what you believe. If what you believe doesn't line up with the book, then you're wrong. You're wrong. I said, what you believe has to line up with the book.
Amen.
I said, if it does not, I said, you know, son, you need to come to know Jesus. You need to accept him as Lord and Savior. I said, you're not a Christian. He said, I am. I said, just say Jesus is my Lord. He said, no. Well, no, unfortunately, I didn't grab him and shake him and kick the devil out of him. I should have. You know, sometimes you just don't do everything you should. You know that? But I didn't do it for him, so I should have, but I didn't. But you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won your fight with these false prophets because the spirit who lives in you is lesser than the spirit who lives in the world. Is that not what that said?
No.
Who is that spirit in 1 John 4:4? He is greater is he that lives in you and me than he that lives in the world. So if the spirit of God that lives in you and me is greater than any other spirit in the world, why in the world do we ever live in fear? What could we possibly be afraid of?
Nothing.
Somebody said, well, you know, that's in the spirit world. That's not in the flesh world. Oh, it's in both worlds. Think about this little ruddy kid, this teenager.
Yeah.
This is a little ruddy kid. And here is a 10-foot-tall giant. Y'all know the story, don't you?
Yeah.
And he comes over there and he, I mean, this giant said, you know, I'm going to kill Israel. And this little bitty ruddy kid, he said, who is that uncircumcised heathen over there?
Yeah.
You know, why don't y'all go over there and knock him out? They said, knock him. Look at him. He's 10 foot tall. His sword weighs more than I do. And David says, well, I can take him on by myself because I have the Spirit of the living God living in me. Let me pick up some rocks here. I'll knock him out. I'll cut his head off. Now then, what kind of profession or confession does David have? I'll kill him. I'll knock him out. I'll cut his head off. I'll fight the battle of the Lord in here. I'll do. Man, he's saying everything right, isn't he? I mean, think of what that little ruddy kid's confession is. And what do when something happens? Oh, I don't know if I can handle that or not. Oh, I don't know if I can make it to church today. I mean, it's a little cold outside, so I'm not sure I can make it. Oh, my goodness, something bad wrong here. So this little teeny ruddy kid goes out there and picks up five smooth stones, puts one in his slingshot, and this guy says, what do y'all mean sending a kid against me? I'm a man. And he says, wham! And the only place unprotected on his head was right between his eyes, and that rock lodged right there. Who do you think was driving that rock? The Lord, the Holy Spirit of the living God. And he knocked out that big uncircumcised giant, and that guy, it knocked him plumb out. And he fell down on the ground, and he's laying there, and little ruddy kid runs over there, pulls that giant sword out, which is big as he is, and whacks his head off right there. And after everybody else saw this little dinky ruddy kid do what he did, what did the rest of the boys do? They went to battle. They thought, if this kid can do this, well, surely we can whip these boys. And so they went over there, and they went in there with fervor, and they went over there, and they wiped out that army and killed them all. But we had to have one little tiny kid that knew who he was in Christ. We had to have a little kid that knew that he had the Spirit of the living God living inside of him, and he was greater than anything that the devil could throw at you on this earth. Hey, that same Spirit. Is that right? That same Spirit. Where does he live today? Right here. That's right. In each one of us. Greater is he that lives in us than he that lives in the world. Verse 5 and 6. These people belong to this world. So they speak from the world viewpoint, and the world listens to them. It does. Now I thought, isn't that amazing? Here I am, so involved in God's work, that a little lady comes on the scene that's been here for 48 years and has made 200 million songs, and I ain't never heard of her. Now, how in the world can a man not know a woman that sings, made 200 million records, that's that well known? How can you not even know somebody like that? I'll tell you how, because you're not in the world. I'm in there studying the Word of God when everybody else is listening to her riding down the road in your car. I ain't listening to her. If I turn a radio station on, only I got every radio station in my pickup tuned to something that's Christian. Amen. I don't listen to the world. I don't want to listen to the world. So that's why I didn't know this woman. One of the well-knownest singers there is, I understand. But I never heard of her. And I'm sorry, I didn't miss nothing. I didn't miss a thing. There ain't nothing that woman had could teach me nothing. Now, she's been a woman of God. I mean, a Bible student that has spent thousands of hours in the Word of God. Hey, I might have listened to her. Because if she can teach me something, I had a man ask me one time, what is it that determines who you listen to? I said, first of all, I want to know how many people they get saved. Do you ever get anybody saved? I'll listen to you. You ever get anybody healed? I'll listen to you. You ever get anybody delivered? I'll listen to you. Because I want what you got. I want what you got. Everybody should want what you have. Like myself, for years I had all that power in me, but I didn't know it was in there. So I couldn't use it. I didn't know that greater is the Spirit that lives in me than the Spirit that lives in the world. I didn't know I could speak in the name of Jesus and cast demons out of people. I didn't know I had that power. So I never did it. Was I a good Christian? Oh, yeah. Did I go to church every Sunday? Oh, yeah. I mean, did I go to Tuesday night Bible study? Yes. Did I go to Wednesday night service? Yes. Was I in church every time the door was open? Yes. But did I ever see a miracle or healing? No. Didn't even know they were available. Did you ever read any books about anybody that did? No. Never heard of anybody that did. And then one day, I happened to turn on Christian television. And there was a guy on there talking about a man by the name of Smith Wigglesworth. And I thought, That's the funniest name I ever heard. That's almost as bad as Scrivener. I thought, Smith Wigglesworth? That's such a strange name. And he said, back when I used to be a young man, when I knew Smith, whenever I saw him do miracles, he said, I remember a woman, they carried up three flights of stairs, and she had crippling arthritis, and Smith laid hands on her and cast that devil out of her, and that woman was instantly totally healed all over. And I said, I'm going to find out who Smith Wigglesworth is. And if he's still alive today, I'm going to go hear him teach, because I ain't never seen nobody cast the devil out of nobody. And so I went down to the Christian bookstore, and I said, did Smith Wigglesworth write any books? And the lady said, no. I said, oh, shucks. I said, I thought surely he must have wrote some books. They said he was a great man of God. Oh, she said, he was a great man of God. And everybody in the world wrote about him, but he didn't write a single book himself. I said, so you have books about Smith Wigglesworth? She said, there's a shelf over there from here to here. All these books is about Smith Wigglesworth. I said, woo. So I go over there, and I get a stack of them about that tall. I said, man, I'm going to read about this guy. And I come home, and I read, and I'm going down through it, and this guy is saying how he does these things. I'm learning. He said, well, one thing I've learned about God, he's a faith God. You got to do it God's way. He said, and he'd quote a scripture, and I'd go to my Bible, and I'd say, my goodness, my Bible says the same thing he said. So all of a sudden, I became dangerous, Jerry. I believed, if this guy could do it, I think I can do it. In the name of Jesus. I mean, if it's written in my Bible, and he did it, then why can't I do it? And so I started acting on the word, and of course, at first, you know, I'm just like everybody else. I remember when I prayed for Cliff, the little boy, young boy, he come into the house one night, and he had a great big old wart on the back of his hand there. It was just a big old thing. He had white stuff all over it. I said, Cliff, what's wrong with your hand, son? He said, well, I got a great big old wart on there, Mr. Scrivener. And he said, I put that stuff on there to try to get it to go away. I said, are you having any luck? He said, no. I said, how would you like for it to go away? He said, well, that's what I'm trying to doctor it for. I want it to go away. I said, come over here, Cliff. I said, write your name down on a piece of paper, Clifton Wayne Hurley. I said, now, it's going to come off, I guarantee it. So I go home and I get on my face, my first experience. I get on my face before God and I said, Lord, you made me all these promises in your word. Lord, I repent of every sin. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to take that wart off the back of Clifton Wayne Hurley's hand, and I want to praise you and thank you for doing it, Father, in Jesus' name. And I thought, gee, that wasn't very hard. There's got to be more to it than this. And so I just forgot it. And about 2 or 3 weeks later, I get a phone call. Thurman, this is Cliff. I said, well, praise God, son. How are you doing? He said, Thurman, you know that wart I had on the back of my hand? I said, yeah. He said, you know you said it would go away? I said, yeah. He said, it did. I said, you don't mean it. You're a great man of faith and power. You don't mean it. Do we all have to start somewhere?
Yeah, that's right.
And was I a great man of faith? Yeah. Obviously not. Because when Cliff told me that wart was gone, my first reaction was, you don't mean it. Oh, my goodness. Now, I know none of y'all have ever done that but me, huh? Do we have to learn? We have to take little baby steps, don't we?
Yeah.
When it's in the kingdom, I won't never be the same. Well, we're not supposed to ever be the same as children of the Most High God, are we? We're supposed to be children that pray and see results. Isn't that wonderful? But when we do it God's way, when we read the Word and we do it God's way, you know, everything He says is for a purpose, but this is awesome. He says, but we belong to God. That is why those who know God listen to us. If they do not belong to God, they do not listen to us. That is how we know if someone has the spirit of truth or the spirit of deception. So, you know, you get somebody to come to church. You got to go out here and hear this pastor with me. Who knows who the pastor is? Maybe some pastor that's moved your heart. And you get somebody, and maybe even to this church. Maybe you get a sick friend. And you want them to come out here. Because you know the healing power of Jesus is in this place. You've seen it. You come out, and they listen to 15 minutes of my sermon, and they say, I don't believe that junk. And they get up and walk out. Have I had that happen? Oh, yeah. I've had that happen. What's the problem? They don't believe in Jesus. Because if they did, they would have stayed and listened to what I had to say. The scripture says, if they don't believe, they're not of God. They're not God's children. I mean, you try to tell people the truth. And they said, I don't need to go to church. I went to church once. And all the guy talked about was giving money. I thought, well, they ain't never been to my church, that's for sure. Well, that's one thing I don't hardly ever talk about is money. When I need money, you know who I ask? The king. I go straight to the boss in the name of Jesus. And then I don't have to worry about it. He just sends the money. Whatever he does, if I need $10,000, $20,000 to buy some new equipment, whatever I need, I just go. I don't never come and ask the congregation or any. I never send out letters. And when I send out CDs, I just go to the Lord and say, Lord, we need $20,000 worth of new equipment here. And I thank you and praise you for sending it to me. And my lo and behold, next 2 or 3 weeks, that money just comes in. And I get to buy anything I need. Isn't that awesome? I mean, but who runs this ministry?
Jesus.
Oh, the king. It belongs to him. And if he put me over it here on earth, all I got to do is ask the boss for what I need. And what does he do? As long as I'm about his business, he sends me whatever I need to pay for whatever I need. Isn't that amazing? I get so tickled that people that supposedly are Christians, and there's several ministries that I've listened to in my life, says, you know, and they'll 4, 5, 6, 8, 10 times during an hour, they'll say, you know, now we need a lot of money, and if you don't send us money, we've got to have money by next week. You don't, we're going to go off the air. When I hear those people, I say, well, just go off the air. Go off the air, you know. If you're begging the people to send you money, then what you need to do is be about God's business and go to him and ask him. And if your ministry is really of him, you don't have to worry. He will send the money to pay your bills. He'll move on somebody's heart to take care of your needs. And then, of course, whoever he moves on their heart, if they're obedient and do what he does, he keeps blessing their socks off. Isn't that amazing? How God blesses those when he says, you know, I want you to send Thurman $1,000. Bob says, yes, sir, Lord. I can think of one man here that came out here. He came out here one time and he said, Thurman, I want to help you. I said, okay. And he told me what he wanted to do. And I said, how much is it going to cost me? He said, nothing. He said, I'm going to do it for you for free. I said, well, okay. So he did. And I said, why do you do this? He said, you know, things are a little slow. I'm not really very busy right now. So I thought, you know, I just thought it'd be a good time to come out and help you for a couple of days. And so I thought I'd just do that. I said, okay. And so I said, so business not too good? He said, no. I said, well, Father, in the name of Jesus, he's helped me. I said, now bless him. He called me back later, and I said, Thurman, I didn't get home till my phone rang, and a lady wanted me to come out and look at a job and said, I got a $10,000 job that evening. And so he said, I don't know if there's any relation between the two, but he said, it sure was unique that it happened right after I helped you. And, of course, this happened so many times in the next 3 or 4 years. This guy finally told me one day, he said, I had to tell God, I'm going to go out and help Thurman again, but Lord, I'm not just helping him so you can bless me. He said, Lord, every time I do something for Thurman, you bless me. Well, this ministry, if when you bless this ministry with something, what does God do for you? He blesses you. That's exactly right. I can think of people, and I could never call names at all, but I think of people that have supported this ministry, you know, that have given money to this ministry and everything, and they come to me and ask me for a prayer for somebody or something, and I pray, and God, I have seen the Lord heal those kind of people in a heartbeat. And then I've seen others that have been here for a year or 2 or 3 or 5 and never give a dime to the ministry. Of course, I didn't know that because I don't see the records. Cheryl keeps the records. But when I pray for somebody many times and they've been here many years and nothing happens, I said, Cheryl, let me see, they give anything to this ministry? She said, no, never a dime. They've been here for years. She said, I've never even entered them in the book. Wow. They don't give nothing. I said, oh, so you wonder why that you can't get them healed or you can't get the answer to prayer. And somebody said, you can't buy God. I know you can't, but you know, he tells you to give, doesn't he? And he loves a cheerful giver.
Cheerful.
That's what he said. I love a cheerful giver. So when you give, you know what you did? I've told people a lot of times, if you put your offering in that box over there, don't just go over there and drop it in the box. Say, Lord, I want to thank you. I am so grateful that you have blessed me with the money to give to this ministry. This is your ministry, Lord, and I want to thank you. I'm sowing seed in this ministry. And this ministry is good ground, and so I know I'm going to reap a great harvest. And when you do that, what happens? God blesses you. That's exactly right. I've told you all my story. I remember when I was back in the Air Force years ago when I was making $40 a week. I know that don't sound like much now, but, you know, it wasn't much then either. But anyway, I was making $40 a week, and I always on Sunday, I knew I was supposed to give, so I always put $1 in the offering plate. Well, that Sunday, when I put my dollar in, when they passed the plate, it was a Baptist church. Later, the pastor, I didn't know he was going to preach on tithing that day. He said, you know, there is sometimes people here that'll come here and enjoy the grace of God and the mercy of God. And when the offering plate's passed, they will put a dollar bill in the offering plate. And I looked up and guess where that finger was pointing? Oh, my goodness gracious. I'm trying to get down behind the seat. I thought, Lord, that guy saw me put that dollar. No, that guy didn't see me put that dollar in. But who did see me put that dollar in there? The Lord saw me put that dollar in there. That's why he pointed that finger at me. And so, and then I heard him say, you know, God clearly says in his word, put him to the test. Put him to the test. You give me your tithe and you see if I won't open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing you won't be able to contain. And in verse 11, he says, and I will rebuke the devourer for you. I love that. I thought, okay, I went home and I told Betty, I said, you know, we've not been tithing. I've always just give a dollar. But did you hear what that guy said today? She said, yeah, I heard. I said, so what does that mean? She said, well, it means we have to give a tithe. I said, you know what a tithe is off of $40? She said, of course, it's $4. And after all, she said, I went to school too, you know. I said, Lord, there ain't no way. We can't make it now. I can't make it from payday to payday. And I'm putting a dollar. I said, Lord, there ain't no way I can put $4 in that plate and make it. But I said, Lord, you told me to put you to the test and tithe and see if you won't make everything work better. I said, Lord, I repent. Next Sunday, I put $4 in that offering plate. I said, Lord, thank you that I have the $4 to put in. And I'm going to tell you the honest to gospel truth. That's been a long, long time ago. That was back in about 1961 or two or somewhere. That's been a while back. But I'm telling you, up until that day, I never had enough money to make it from payday to payday. But after that day, I have never been out of money in my whole life. I've always had enough money to make it. You know, I mean, I've never been what you call a wealthy man, but I've had enough money in the bank to pay all my bills, pay off everything, and have money left over to where I can take Cheryl out to dinner once in a while when she wants to go, you know? So, you know, it's not like we don't have anything. You know, we are blessed. We are really blessed. It's like I was telling somebody the other day, here I am now, I've got a wife that's on Social Security. She's rich. And she spends every penny of it, I guarantee you. And then I said, here, she's got a husband that's on Social Security, and he's got his, and then he's got a little gas well down here putting a little money. I said, just myself, I'm bringing in probably $3,000 a month, and she's bringing in $1,000 a month. That's $4,000 a month. If we got everything in the world we own paid for. We don't owe nobody nothing. The only thing I have to do is pay my taxes. I did have to go over the other day and pay $4,500 taxes. But, you know, I think I'm going to learn how to get out of that if I keep working on that. But I think when you don't have hardly any bills at all and everything's paid for and by land, $4,000 a month, that's pretty good. Yeah. You know, somebody said, man, I couldn't even begin to live on $4,000 a month. Well, if you ain't got no bills, what do you do with it? I save my money up and pay my taxes with it. And, you know, and every once in a while I put a couple of extra thousand in the ministry. I just give it away. Why am I blessed? Because I've done what God says. I put him first. Now, is he a respecter of persons?
No.
Absolutely not. But does he show favoritism? Absolutely not. You know, if you want to try to be blessed and not tithe, forget it. I got so tickled the other night. I was listening to one of the TV evangelists, and he said, whenever we first started in the ministry, he said, we had to give all this money. And he said, so we've mortgaged our house, and we took our $20,000 life insurance and everything, and we gave it all to the Lord. And he said, things wasn't going well. He said, our ministry was fixing to go under. If we didn't have $20,000 come in by the end of the next day, our ministry was over. He said, I went to the Lord, and I said, Lord, I gave you everything I had, and now we're fixing to lose it. And he said, the Lord spoke to me as clear as he ever spoke to me. He said, you didn't give me nothing. He said, you put a clause in that contract that if your ministry went, that money you put in, you loaned it to me, and I was going to have to pay it back to you. He said, you didn't give me nothing. He said, Lord, I'm sorry. You're right. I didn't. Isn't that amazing that God understands that contract? So he said, okay, Lord, I repent. So he called his wife and said, honey, the Lord just spoke to you and told me we didn't give him nothing. She said, well, we didn't. We made a clause in there that if the money came back in over time, that it would come back to us. Our insurance and everything would be returned to us. He said, okay, God said he wasn't happy with that. So he said, we got to give it to him. So let's give him everything. And said, if we give him everything, then we got by tomorrow afternoon, we got to have $20,000 more or we ain't going to make it. But so he said, told me to give it. Are we going to give it? She said, I'm in complete agreement. Give it. So he said, we gave it all to the Lord. And by the next afternoon, $49,000 came to their ministry in one day. And they're still alive and well today, going good. Isn't it amazing that God knows your mail? He reads your contracts? And he's smarter than all of us, isn't he? You can't fool him. I don't understand why we even try to fool God. Wow. Verse 7 and 8. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Now let me ask you this question. Under the new covenant, you have been given one command. What is it?
Love.
That's it. That's the only commandment you have been given under your new contract, and that is walking in faith, walk in love. That's all you got to do. You don't have to keep any particular holy days or new moons or Sabbaths or nothing the Scripture says. He clearly says, you, if you're led by the Spirit of God, you're not under the law. It's written in God's Word several places. So if God says, if I walk in faith and walk in love and I'm not under the law, then why do I want to be under the law? I do not want to be. Now, is it okay if I want to celebrate tabernacles? Of course. If I want to celebrate the Sabbath, am I free to do that? Of course. You know, but if I did on Sabbath, say Saturday Sabbath, and I decide I want to go to town to do something, can I go to town and do that? Of course. I'm not under the law. I'm walking in love. I'm walking in faith. I am totally led by the Spirit of God, and I'm therefore not under the law. I'm under grace. And if you want to get your prayer answered, that's the only place you can get it answered. You can't get it answered by being under the law. When you start sinning and fall from grace and get back under the law, forget it. There's only one prayer God hears down there. Lord, I repent. Oh, he said, okay. Now then, that you've repented, I'll restore you, bring you back up to faith. Now, I'll answer your prayer. And that's the way he works. Let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is born of God and knows God. See, now, boy, that's how you can tell. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. So if you are with people and you don't feel or see the love of God demonstrated in them, you need to work on getting them saved, because they don't know Jesus. Now, if they know Jesus, love is just automatically there, isn't it? You just love people. You love to do things for people. When the love of God, and the more of the love of God you got in you, the more good you want to do for other people. Wow. Isn't that something? 9 and 10. God showed how much he loved us by sending his only son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. Now, this is real love. It is not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. And you talk about love? When I was yet a wicked sinner, Jesus Christ died for me. For you. When you were yet a wicked sinner. You know, some of us say, well, I was never a very bad sinner. Yeah, you were a rotten critter, all right. You know, making it who you were. If when the Lord says the best we can do as human beings is as filthy rags in his presence, we were rotten. We're rotten people, I'll say that. Wow. Verse 11 and 12. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us and his love has been brought to full expression through us. In other words, this is the thing you and I have to always remember. All of God anybody will ever know on this earth is what they see in you. So that's why so many people can say, what? You want me to go to church? Yeah, I'd like to invite you to come to church. I went to church a few times, but I mean, I ain't going down there with them bunch of heathens, you know, them hypocrites. I see some guy down there holding his hands up, singing songs, praising God, supposedly. Monday morning, he cheated me on a car deal out here on the parking lot. You know, he said, I don't need a Christian. I don't want to go to church. There ain't nothing but a bunch of hypocrites down there. You ever heard that?
Yeah.
What do you say to people like that? Well, I guess, you know, praise God, I was a hypocrite too, you know, so at one time. So Jesus finally got me and saved me, so Now then, what do you see in me? Well, you're different. I'm only different because Jesus saved me. In fact, I had one of my men that worked for me up in Minneapolis one time. I'd done some really nice things for him, and I just do things for everybody. He was a new employee. And when I left there, one of the older guys called me and told me, he said, George said that he never met a man that looked like Jesus until he saw you. Boy, you talk about humbling you, huh? He said, the way you act, the way you talk, the things you say, your vocabulary, he said, you're such a loving, wonderful man. He said, if there was a man on this earth that walked like Jesus, he said he saw him in you. I thought, wow, that's the way everybody ought to see every one of us. You know, we ought to, when people see us, we ought to be so loving and kind and so helpful. They say, wow, you must be a Jesus freak. Is that right?
Yes.
That's the way it should be. They should see the love of God in us. Wow. So no one has ever seen God, but we love each other. God lives in us, and his love has been brought to full expression through us. Wow. Of course, you know, a few years ago, you could have said, Thurman, that guy's a Christian? Ooh, I don't know if I want to go to church with him. You know, but praise God, I got over that. I hope. I hope it's better. 13 and 14. And God has given us his Spirit as proof that we live in him and he is in us. So if we're really, really sons of God, where is the Holy Spirit? In us. Wow. I don't think a whole lot of the church knows that. The Holy Spirit is in us. He's our teacher. And so if we get in the Word and pray over the Word, he will train us. He'll open our eyes to the truth of the Word of God. And I think about the number of people that have been brought out here that have come and listened for a little while. And I've had a few of them. In fact, the reason I put the words on the board, I had this one woman. She was a Baptist. And I started a healing school. She finally called me on Tuesday. She said, Thurman, I was raised a Baptist all my life. I heard you were a Baptist, that you taught a healing school, so I thought I'd come. So she said, within 15 minutes, you had put so many scriptures on the board that I had never heard of, that I had never seen. And when you said what they said, I said, this can't be God. He's got to have a foreign Bible. So she said, I opened my book to the same scriptures, and my Bible said the same thing yours did. She said, now, if it hadn't have been for those scriptures on the board, she said, if you just started talking that stuff, she said, I would never even looked it up. And she said, in 15 minutes, I'd have got up and I said, this guy's crazy. He's absolutely crazy. And she said, I would have walked out on you. But she said, I saw it on the board. I saw the reference on the board. And so I opened my Bible and looked at that same place. And there it was. And what it said was exactly what the one said on the wall. She said, I thought, is this guy going to challenge me? I've only been here 15 minutes, and they said this thing's going to be 4 hours long. And she said, by the time the day was over, she said, my mind was running a million directions. I had written down so many scriptures, she said, I couldn't hardly think. I got tickled. Camilla, she said at the healing school yesterday, she was so intense, she was trying to write down every scripture, that she said, we got home last night by 8:30, I was so tired, I just went to bed. She said, Thurman, you really raked me over the coals yesterday. She was trying to capture every scripture. She wanted every scripture because she knows they'll bring health to all her flesh and long life to her. And so she wants to put the Word of God in her heart. And it just tired her out. So praise God. I bet you slept good last night. Hey, see, when you're in God's Word all day, I mean, he can't do nothing but give you sweet sleep at night. That's what he promised. God is so good. Isn't he good? He's such an awesome God. But God has given his Spirit. Verse 14 says, furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes and now testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Now, these men have something on us. They got to see Jesus Christ with these eyes. They got to walk up to him and touch him, feel him, say, whoa, he's real. We haven't had that privilege yet, have we? I have never seen Jesus physically. Have you? I've heard a few people said they have, but I have heard his voice a lot of times. You know, and that's wonderful to hear the King talk to you. Every time he talks to me, I look around to see if I can see him, because one day he's going to be there. And I can only imagine when I get to see him in his glory, what I'm going to do. If I happen to be sitting down or standing up, I'm sure I'm going to be on my face in one heartbeat to get to stand before the King. Wow. Just think, this is the God that we serve is the King of the universe. He's the one that said, and let there be. And it was. And he just threw in a few million stars and galaxies out there just to let us know he's really here. And most of us don't even believe he's here. And those of us that are in the church, we don't believe his word. We don't believe these promises, but they're all in there. You know, we have to stay in his word. If we believe the word like it's written, when I pray for Cheryl and God instantly heals her, she loves it and I love it. I love it. And y'all love it too, right?
Yes.
Oh, you can't beat it. You know, I mean, when you pray for each other, husbands and wives should walk in such a love walk with each other. When the wife does have a need or whatever it is, the husband ought to be so pure and so holy before God, he can reach over and lay his hand on his sweet little woman and ask the Father for anything for her, and he does it just like that. Now then, you've got to make sure you're walking in love. You can't have a knockdown drag out every morning before you go to work with your wife and expect to get any answers from God. You know, you got to walk in love. Is that what he said?
Yeah.
You got to love. Yeah. Furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes and now testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Verse 15 and 16. All who proclaim that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them. And they live in God. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in him because God is love. And all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. Now see, we get this kind of confused when we say God is a God of love. People think that if this God is a God of love, he would never chasten you. He would never discipline you. But is that true? No. I mean, do you love your children? When they disobey, what do you have to do? You have to discipline them. You don't want to do it, but you have to do it, right? Now, then, do you love them any less? No, you still love them, just like God loves you and me. And when you and me, as men, we're still children, if we don't obey the Lord, he'll discipline you and me, won't he? And discipline is painful, isn't it? Just like when you discipline your children. But see, God is such a God of love, people think, well, he would never do that. Well, let me tell you, in the Old Testament, where it's written that God killed 23,000 people in one day because of sexual immorality. 23,000 of them died in one day. People say, that's the old covenant. God's not doing that no more. Let me tell you, he is doing that. He may not be killing 23,000 in one particular location, but I guarantee over the world there is more than 23,000 people die every day because of sexual immorality. They get sick and they die and they don't even know what the problem is. You know, they don't put it together. You know, so you take some guy, he's out running around and he sleeps around on his wife and she may know it and she's going to try to live it out because she ain't got no place to go without him and he makes all the money and she don't have no money, so she's going to try to struggle this thing out and she's hoping he's going to be all right. She prays for him and everything. But he says he's a Christian. He goes to church on Sunday. But he goes out on Friday night and gets drunk. He goes out to the bars. He sleeps around with these girls. And then all of a sudden, he comes down with some kind of terrible disease. And in 6 months, he's dead. And then his wife finds out he has this terrible disease, and he's been sleeping with her. And then she comes to me and says, Pastor, I don't understand this. My husband died with this disease, and it's contagious, but I don't have it. I said, I can explain that to you. She said, well, by all means, please do. I said, you're not living in sin. You're an obedient daughter. So God didn't let that demon transfer to you, but he killed your husband with it, but it never touched you. She said, I never understood that. Why, how I could be married to a man that was promiscuous, running around, caught these deadly diseases, and I didn't know it, and he was sleeping with me, and I had never caught any of those diseases, but yet he had them. And she said, I just didn't understand why a contagious disease didn't come to me. See, there has to be sin. If there's sin, all that woman would have had to done was went out one time to get even with her husband. Find one other man, have sex with one man one time, and I guarantee both of them are going to be afflicted with that disease next time they come together. I guarantee it. It'll happen. But when you're walking in obedience to God's word, Just remember, the king promised you, if you obey me and you do what I say and you walk in love, I will take how much sickness away from you?
All.
That's what he said. I will take all sickness away from you and you won't have none. I love serving God, don't you? It pays good dividends. We know how much God loves us. Now let's go to 17 and 18. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment. Now, wait a minute. Let me ask you a question. You ever see anybody that said there was a Christian that was getting ready to die and it was petrified? Oh, why are they so scared? Oh, because they know their sins. They know what they've done. And they know they're fixing to stand before the creator of the universe. And here he's going to stand. I ain't too happy with you. How would you like for Jesus to say that to you when you got home? Ooh, you know, if you haven't listened to the Howard Pittman interview, you really need to listen to it. Howard was a Baptist preacher. And him and his wife raised 24 foster children. And when he got home, the first thing the Lord said to him, Howard, I ain't happy with you. He said, Lord, I was a Baptist preacher on earth. He said, I know what you did. Lord, my wife and I raised 24 or 27, whatever it was, foster children. He said, oh, I've heard you brag about that all your life. He said, you didn't do nothing for me. He said, you did that for yourself so you could brag about it. He said, you didn't do nothing for me. How would you like for God to judge you like that? Oh, my God, Howard Pittman, I mean, he was in awe. He thought God was going to have his arms out saying, well done, my Baptist preacher, come in. But he was a rude awakening. He wasn't happy with him at all. He said, but Lord, I was a Baptist preacher. He said, I know, and I give you my word, and you didn't preach it like it was written. You preached it the way the Baptist told you to preach it. But I told you what to do, and you didn't do what I told you to do. How would you like to stand before God one day? I mean, if I thought I had any kind of unconfessed sin in my life, and I might die tonight, I guarantee right now I'd be on my knees confessing it right now. Because when I go home, I want to make sure I'm clean and pure so I don't have to worry about any kind of judgment. I want every sin to be covered in the blood of Jesus, don't you? Amen. So when you get there and he says, oh, my son, every sin is covered. You did a good job for me on earth. You know, you worked hard for me. Is that what you want to hear when you get home? Amen. I guarantee you, that's what I want to hear. I don't want to hear him say, oh, well, I'm not too happy with you. Eh, well, I'm going to let you in heaven, but I'm going to put you back out there on the back 40. You won't ever see me again, but you're going to get out. I'd rather be on the back 40 than be in hell, I'll tell you for sure. But I don't want to be on the back 40. Not when I know there's seats next to him on the throne of God. He said, to all of you that overcome on earth, I will let you sit with me in my throne. Amen. I want to be in one of those seats. That's my goal. Should it be your goal?
Amen.
Absolutely. You don't want to be out there in the back 40. Such love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. Now, when you see somebody, and I had lots of them, come up here to healing school, I'm in such fear. Oh, you need to get rid of it. You need to get into love. Because if you're walking in perfect love, do you have to worry about fear? No, it ain't there. Not at all. There's no fear in love. If you realize who lives in you and that he is all love and you're living for God, you have no fear. You're not afraid of nothing. I teach this to all my girls, even my wife. And once in a while, I'll do something. The girls will come through or Kathy will be coming in there or something. And I walk up to them and I say, hey, and they're getting to where when I say, hey, they just say, perfect love, cast out all fear. I ain't afraid of nothing. But when I first started this, you know, they may jump, scream, throw down what they got in their hands or all kinds. I said, you know, you girls to work here, you need to be solid as a rock. You need to be Christian daughters that are rock solid. I said, even if a roaring lion comes in and opens his mouth and start to bite you right in the face, you should say, I have authority over you in the name of Jesus. I mean, just think, did Daniel do that? Did they throw him in the lion's den? Was he afraid? No, because he was walking in total love. Now, how many of us would be afraid if we got thrown in the lion's den tonight? Probably all of us. What does that mean? We're not walking in perfect love. You know, that would put us to the test, wouldn't it? I guarantee it'd put me to the test. I don't want to have to be tested like that. Such love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of judgment. And this shows that his love has not been perfected in us. Just think, this is the word of God. If we're afraid, we still got a sin in our life. And we're afraid we're going to be judged. I don't know about you, but I don't want God to judge me. Do you? I'd a whole lot rather judge myself and repent of my own sins and let him bless me. I don't want to be judged by the Lord. Verse 19 and 20. We love each other as a result of his loving us first. If someone says, I love God, but he hates a Christian brother or sister, that person is a liar. Boy, you couldn't get no bolder than that, could you? Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. I love God with all my heart. Well, but old Kim over there, I can't stand her. I hate that woman. Do you ever hear Christians talk like that? You know, God's got a word for you. You don't know me. You don't know me. If you say you love God, then the love of God's in you. You ought to say, I love you, Kim. You're a sweetheart. Is that the way we should think?
Right.
Absolutely. We got to love. How many of y'all know that everybody's not lovable all the time? You know that every once in a while, there is people that get out of love? Now then, what do we need to do when we get out of love? We need to repent and come back into the love walk and obey God. Right? Now, this would always have to be some outsiders. Nobody in the church would ever do anything like this. None of us would. Oh, y'all say, oh, my goodness gracious. I saw some signs there. Woo! I mean, maybe some of us do that kind of stuff once in a while. I hope not. If someone says, I love God but hates a Christian brother or sister, that person is a liar. Now, you just can't get it no plainer than that. For if we don't love people, we can see how can we love God whom we have not seen. Somebody sent me an email the other day. It says, who is this group? And it told how many hundreds there was. And told how many of them had been involved in alcohol, drunks, picked up for DWIs. How many of them had been cheated on their wives. And it just went right down the list. All kinds of rotten things. I said, now who do you think this bunch is? Guess the Congress. And I was right. And these people are ruling our country. Do they need prayer?
Yeah.
Yeah, so why don't we pray for them more often, huh? Okay, Lord, I repent for not praying for them enough myself. Wow, verse 21, last verse. And God himself has commanded that we must love not only him, but our Christian brothers and sisters too. Now, like I say, this commandment that we have today, only one, love. If you walk in love, you're led by the Spirit of God. You're not under the law. And I guarantee you, as long as you walk being led by the Spirit, walking in obedience to God's Word, there is no sickness and disease there. It's a wonderful place to walk. Just think, no sickness and disease. Jesus clearly said under the New Covenant that he bore our sickness and removed our disease under the New Covenant. Did he not? Matthew 8:17. If he bore our sickness and removed our disease, then why do we have so much sickness in the church? Because we're not walking in obedience to love. We're getting out of our love walk. Do you really think that God would discipline you with sickness and pain just because you got out of a love walk? He says he will, doesn't he? You know, obviously, we don't think about that when we do something wrong. Well, Father, I praise you and thank you for this beautiful, gorgeous week. I thank you for your word. This is such an awesome book, Lord. I praise you and thank you for this wonderful book. Now, Lord, I ask you to bless everybody this week. I ask you to challenge everybody to walk in that love walk, especially with their spouse, Lord. Walk in love with each other so that when people see us as man and wife, that they will say, wow, that couple must really love God because they really love each other. And look how they treat each other with such love and respect. They got to be Christians. There's no other explanation for why they do this, because they love God. Lord, show your love through us this week and every week so that we can be an example of you everywhere we go. And I praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.